new theater to talk about, and that is the Redbird Theater in Coeur d'Alene. So let's get in touch with the founders and find out about this. Good morning, Marie Hunt.
Good morning, Vern.
And good morning, Daniel Hunt.
Hi, how are you doing?
And let's first find out about you. Have you folks lived around here for a while?
Yeah, we've lived around here for a couple years. When Daniel was young, he lived here, and it was always his favorite memories was living here. So we were raising our kids out in Coeur d'Alene.
Good. Yeah. So you moved back. And I guess, I gather if you're going to go around starting theaters, you have theater in your blood.
Absolutely.
So talk a bit about the theater in your blood and your past relationship with the theater.
Yeah. I was a painfully shy child, but when I was in high school, a friend wanted to audition for the school play and was too nervous to go by herself. So I went with her, and I was instantly bit by the theater bug, and I've been addicted ever since to every aspect, writing, acting, directing. And that's actually how Daniel and I met.
Yeah, and Daniel, what about you? And
well, I was a ham, so growing up, I really enjoyed the attention more than I enjoyed acting, but I kind of gravitated toward that. And I fell in love with Marie from a distance in a play. She was the lead, and I was just like this side
easy to
part.
Do nothing more romantic than a play.
Yeah,
it's
and
very
I was
true.
A hopeless romantic, kind of looking off from a distance, like, oh, maybe one day she'll notice me. And it worked out, and so we met. We can't kind of, you know, we started dating in community theater, and then we got married, and we had a bunch of theater people at our wedding, and we have always wanted to do this together. We've often worked together, and we're best friends, and so
yeah. Now, 15 years later,
so
here we are.
Four kids.
Sounds like you had no choice, but to start
no
a theater.
Destiny.
And now, looking for a moment, just from the cold outside, what is your theater company going to add to Coeur d'Alene that isn't there? There's the hard question.
Yeah, no, that's a great question because there is such great theater in Coeur d'Alene for such a small town. Mm-hmm. What we are bringing is a lot of collaboration, so a lot of original scripts and opening up to people for them to direct and collaborate in a lot of different ways besides just holding an audition and then proceeding in the same way.
We're focused on two main areas. There's a lot of musicals in Coeur d'Alene. So we're focused on Black Box Theater, which is kind of made popular in New York City, where they don't have a lot of space. The Redbird's actually a really small theater. We don't really have a lot of space. So you have to be a fabulous actor to hold people's attention when you don't have all the lights and all the videos and all the sets and things like that. And so we are distinguished in that we're going to do a lot of original scripts, a lot of straight shows. We're going to be doing an alternative to a movie theater nights where you can come as a date. Thursday nights, Friday nights, Saturday nights, come and join us, watch a show. So that's kind of our focus.
Yeah, because we love Lake City and Aspire, and all the theaters are doing such a great job, and it's just going to be a really different kind of experience for people.
Yeah.
And so you talked about original scripts. So what about Scrooge and Marley's annual Christmas ball?
Yes.
I mean, there's a certain implication one immediately gets that if you're going to allude to the Scrooge story, you have a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
And so you wrote this, Marie. Without giving away too much too soon, what are some of the possibilities inherent in the original Dickens that you were able to piggyback on and run with?
Yeah, we're just looking a few years into the future after the events of the Christmas Carol. And in the original book, Scrooge talks about, or he's taken back to his Christmas past of the Christmas balls that his former employer, Mr. Fezziwig, used to throw for his company. And so now that Scrooge has changed and his heart has grown, he's hired more people at his company, and now he throws these annual Christmas balls. And the name of his firm is the Scrooge and Marley Firm, despite the fact that Marley is a ghost. So,
well, that's perfect for the fantasy that is theater. Well, let's bring in three actors so that we can get a taste of this show. Brandon Miller is in the role of Martin, who seems to be some sort of young man here. So, Brandon, why don't you say something as Martin? Hello, Martin.
Hello. Martin's character is constantly throughout the show, he's trying to prove himself of his worth because before the show, he took out a ton of loans And so he's just kind of trying to, like, prove himself that he's not that person, that he's changed, that he's a better version of himself, pretty much. Good.
And it's not always nice for the sense of change and evolution, since that's yet another of the Dickens concepts that's so strong. And then Terry Grubbs as Bell, and I guess we'll give it, the piece will also give it away that you're Brandon's mother, right?
I am Brandon's mother.
But you're much more than that.
Much more than that. Well, let's just say that Mr. Scrooge and I were once very close.
Okay, good. And then, as Ebenezer Scrooge, Doug Jacobs. Hello, Mr. Scrooge.
Good morning.
Okay, good. Well, let's hear this scene from this play. I'll say it enough that I'll get to know it. Scrooge and Marley's Annual Christmas Ball.
Good evening, Martin. I hope you're enjoying yourself after all of your hard work.
Most definitely, sir. This is my mother, Mr. Scrooge, Miss Belmore.
How do you do?
I do hope it's all right that I invited my mother.
Oh, yes, it's all right. It's quite all right. Oh,
wonderful. I'm so relieved. I'm new at the firm and not quite used to such a generous employer. And you said that we could invite family, but as I am yet unmarried, I wasn't sure. Mr. Scrooge, are you all right?
Hmm? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. It's only, well, I know your mother already, or knew her quite well.
Ebenezer, I mean Mr. Scrooge, I didn't know if you remembered.
Oh, how could I forget?
Mother, you did not tell me that you knew Mr. Scrooge.
It was such a long time ago. It seems like another lifetime, really. Mr. Scrooge and I were once very close.
Oh, Ebenezer, please, Belle, I do like that so much better.
Dare I ask?
We were actually once engaged when we were very young. It was before I met your father.
Oh, yes, he told me you had married.
Who?
Oh, the spirit of... Oh, never mind, I had heard. I had heard that you had married and that you were happy.
Yes, my father was a wonderful man.
Was?
Passed no, some 3 years ago.
I am so sorry for your loss, but so glad you have been happy.
I'm going to get a drink.
Belle, I don't know what to say. Your son has been working for me for months. Why didn't you come by or send a letter?
Ebenezer, you have to understand. Because of the man I knew when we last parted, I didn't know what to expect.
Of course, I understand entirely.
But when he reported back on the wonderful way you treated your employees and that you had forgiven the loan, well, I had to come today to see for myself. You know, I didn't know he had taken out a loan with you. He didn't tell me about any of the loans. He was so young when his father passed, and he is my only son. We were always happy, but not wealthy. My husband left us with little. Martin wanted to provide for me and his sisters, but didn't know how.
Well, I've been happy to help a fine young man like Martin, but my joy is complete, knowing that this has helped you.
It's been long since I've had such joy myself, being here and seeing you again.
And finding me changed.
No, I don't see it that way. I say that you are back to yourself, back to the man I fell in love with.
Belle, would you do me the honor of taking my arm? I should like to get you a drink, if I may.
The honor would be mine, good sir.
And they go off to get their drink. And the role of Ebenezer Scrooge was Doug Jacobs, Terry Grubbs as Belle, and as her son, Martin, was Brandon Miller. So among all of us to talk about, including and especially Marie, who wrote this play relatively early in the play. Any good play needs a dramatic situation. It needs a little tension. I mean, we can already sense a few things. I mean, we can sense the change in Brandon, or at least the change that he's trying to espouse. And then always that lovely thing of the reconnecting with a lost love from before. But what are some of the other issues that you're developing in this play?
One of the main sources of tension is that there are some very traditional businessmen, rather comedic characters, but they're also somewhat the villains, and they are looking for weak spots in Scrooge's company because they would like to swoop in and get a piece of that pie.
Hostile takeover.
They're trying to exploit the weakness of perhaps that he's mad or, you know, having seen spirits that he lets slip every once in a while. So they're looking, for a hostile takeover.
Nice. And then to the three of you actors, let's start with you, Scrooge. There's clearly the two Scrooges. There's the Dickens Scrooge and it was alluded to, and then there's this new changed Scrooge. Do you have both of those qualities in you to deal with this tension and this problem?
You know, there's a small amount of the old Scrooge that comes out every once in a while when the businessmen are always trying to corner him, but his heart is changed and he does act quite differently now. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon, as Martin, the young boy, do you have some kind of operative stuff in this tension here in the play?
Yeah, I feel like Martin has this conflict if he wants to try to do a good job for Mr. Scrooge, but he's sort of embarrassed or baffled for the fact of my mom falling in love with Mr. Scrooge and how to react with that.
Yeah, every kid's problem.
Yeah. Mom, what are you doing?
Yeah. Right. And so then Terry is what we see, what we get with you?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that this character is kind of excited to rekindle something, but not too excited because Scrooge wasn't a nice guy before. She's really glad that her son got a job.
Every
and is
race.
Able to help out a little.
Oh my gosh.
So I think, I think that it's an exciting time for her, but she's a little bit cautious at the beginning.
And back to the playwright, Marie, talk about some of the characters that aren't here. There's been a reference to the nasty businessman.
Yes, there is some characters of some young ladies. The businessman, one of them, puts on a very strong front, you know, because of the times, you know, men being in charge. But he's rather henpecked, as we find out. His wife and his many daughters show up to the party to scold him. And one of the other businessmen has a very clever sister who has heard that Scrooge is hiring women now as an accounting firm, which is very progressive, although not unheard of at the time. And she is very interested in perhaps working for Scrooge, which is a conflict for the businessmen as well.
Sure. And I gather you've kept this in the early 19th century along the same kind of timeline as the original Dickens.
Yeah, shortly after 1840s, 50s. Yeah.
Sure. And then back to the three actors whom we just heard delivering the scene. Talk a little bit about your why you're here, why you're doing this show, your passion for acting. We can start with any of you. Terry, what's your part in this? I mean, how did you get into this show? And tell me about your life in theater.
Well, I own a music studio in Coeur d'Alene, and we moved to Coeur d'Alene about 14 years ago, and I've just always been a musician and got interested in theater, and I recently moved my studio into a space that the Redbird has, and so I'm kind of subletting from them, and they're absolutely wonderful people, and when I started to hear their kind of concept for what Redbird was going to be, I fell in love with it, and we think a lot alike, and I just wanted to be part of the show. So it's really, really exciting to see how it's come together and to just especially, I think, watch these two with the cast and the culture that they are creating in Coeur d'Alene is just really, really exciting. So it's a wonderful project. It's a lot
nice.
Of fun.
And Brandon, what about you in theater?
I started doing theater when I was a freshman in high school. And my brother offered me to go watch a play that he was working on, and I was very hesitant at first, but I went to it, and I just fell in love with it. And then a few years later, I just started auditioning for every single show that came out. And then a really close friend of mine asked if I would go audition for their first show, the HOA, the Redbird, performed and put on. And I just knew from then that I wanted to be a part of the Redbird and help out with any way that I can.
Of this theater troupe, yeah, good. And you, Doug, who we heard in the role as Ebenezer?
Yeah, so theater's been interesting for me. I developed a passion for it in high school, but never got on the stage. I came from a traditional working class family who I had to go get a job, and I worked from the time I was 16 years old. And when I was in my early 40s, I was at a particularly low point in my life. And in living in Coeur d'Alene, and happened to be sitting there one day feeling sorry for myself, and picked up the paper and saw that a local theater company was holding auditions. And I thought, why not? I thought, maybe they'll at least let me paint walls. And I went down and they cast me. And
that,
it has
that
carried
would be
me
Lake
since.
City Playhouse.
Yes, it was. Lake City Playhouse, yeah. They were doing a play called Breaking Legs, and I was the comedic role of the hitman. Mm-hmm. And a few years later, my job moved. And like many people move to towns and try to find a home church, I found myself moving to towns and finding a home theater. Mm-hmm. And it has become a great way to keep friends in community. And I've acted and directed and been blessed to do a lot of great things. And I'm just now finally getting to move back to Coeur d'Alene and finished a show at Ignite Theater and picked up my phone. And Facebook had a deal that said, looking for Ebenezer Scrooge. And I chatted Marie and said, oh, I'm on the way. And I was lucky they cast
thanks
me.
Thanks God he did.
Yeah.
That's great. Doug Jacobs is Ebenezer Scrooge. And back to the two theater founders. Talk about the space, the Innovation Den.
Yeah. So we wanted to do something different that had not been done. And we don't have our own theater. We have a small space that seats about 50 for Black Box, but we don't have a place for a large show. We've rented the Kroc Center and it's been wonderful there. But for this, we wanted it to be like you're attending the Christmas party as if you were invited. And so the show sort of unfolds all around you, almost like theater and around, except for we're around you. And so the Innovation Den was really perfect. They've been wonderful to work with. It's a brand new space, a renovated building.
Which is the old Eagles?
Elks. Yeah, it's iconically in the middle of Coeur d'Alene. There's a new parking structure right there. Our hope is that the shows are just an hour, so and we do have some hors d'oeuvres and coffee and hot cocoa at the tables, like you're at a party, and you could go do your shopping downtown Coeur d'Alene, stop in for an hour show, and then go eat lunch or something like that.
And the shows are this Saturday and Sunday at 1, 3, and 5 with those shows. And your redbirdcda.com is your email address to, or website email address to be able to find out any of the details, the ticket details, and all of those things, because they are these, once again, to reiterate, the Innovation Den, which is on Lakeside there, the former, I'll eventually say it right, Elks?
Former
Elks Nailed building. Lovely big brick building along there, 1, 3, and 5 on Saturday and Sunday as a new thing rising, the Redbird Theater in Coeur d'Alene. What a treat. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you
so much. Thank you very much. Yeah.